Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. He's the man that created the all-juice team.
I watch a lot of football, guys. Every week, hours of it. I took notes on every game.
You can find his work over at Yahoo Sports.
The Chiefs are just a great football team, man.
And he joins us every Tuesday at 3:30 and Thursday at 8:30.
Watch him. He looks unbelievable.
Here's 610 Sports Radio's NFL insider, Terez Paylor.
Back in on the Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by one of my favorite interviews of the week. He is one of the best NFL voices, writers, reporters, podcasters in the country. He does great work with Yahoo Sports. You should subscribe to his podcast. He does with Charles Robinson. His name is Terez Paylor from Yahoo Sports. Terez, appreciate you coming on.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Terez, you're the perfect person to start the interview off this way. Can you just tell us the historical comparison for Patrick Mahomes and sort of the level that he's playing at? Like, you've been in the room for the Hall of Fame where I think if, let's say the Chiefs win next Sunday, and Pat just decides at the end of it, hey, I'm done. I've made enough money. I now want to be a father and be a husband. I think Pat still goes into the Hall of Fame with just 4 years of an NFL career. What he's done in this short body of work in this short period of time, I don't really know if we can really compare it to anything, honestly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, look, so the Hall of Fame also comes down like the impact you made in a game. And, you know, you can argue this is one of the greatest three-year stretches, maybe the greatest we've seen from a quarterback ever. Like, it's for real. So basically, there's not like a comparison that checks all the boxes. As far as comparing to his peers, like his first 3 years of as a starter, in terms of like prolificness, it's like Marino's first 3 years, but Marino didn't get that championship. As far as winning goes, it's like Brady's first 3 years. It's very much like that. So, I mean, those are two historically great comparisons. And, you know, there's been a precedent set in the Hall of Fame that if you're like a great player, like an amazing shooting star player, like you can get into the Hall of Fame playing five seasons. Right. Gale Sayers played five seasons and made the Hall of Fame. Why? Because he was unbelievable, unlike anything we've ever seen. And you can absolutely make the argument that, like, you know, it's been, what, 3 years as a starter for Mahomes, you know, he wins another Super Bowl. He has another great year like this, you know, just for the impact he's made over the last 3 years. And you add a fourth to it. I feel like the Gale Sayers corollary definitely applies to him. And if something happened where he stopped playing after next year, but it was four amazing shooting star years, I think he would get in. But, you know, 3 years, that's a little short for a lot of people in the room. Like, all he's got to do is play like one more year and they'd probably be willing to, forgive the fact that it's just 4 years just because of the Gale Sayers corollary. But, 3 years, like these guys, the guys have a hard time with Calvin Johnson's 9 years. Okay. Like, you know, three is not going to be that's going to be tough for a lot of people to get over. Before Gale Sayers corollary, yeah, I think that'd be enough to sway the people in the room. Certainly five great years, no doubt Hall of Famer getting in.
Terez, you and I are probably closer in this than Sean and I are close. He's talked a lot this year about the gap between Kansas City and the other teams in the league. And I think you and I look at it like, yeah, Kansas City's clearly better, but it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, anything can happen. When you watched on Sunday, were you surprised that Kansas City was just that much superior to Buffalo in just every single aspect of the game?
No, Buffalo hadn't been there before. In the AFC Championship game is a completely different deal. They had been playoff tested. They lost to Houston last year, but you need a few scars in general most of the time to win the AFC championship game or the NFC championship games. Like, I think I've said this to you guys before, but like, you know, the 99 Rams don't come around every day. You know, that's not that common. You know what I mean? In general, you need a few battle scars to learn how to win a big game. And I know people here are very quick to dismiss Josh Allen and the Bills. I personally wouldn't do that. You know, I think that team has run really, really well. I think they're extremely capable in the front office, and I really like their quarterback, and they're also young. I think the Bills are going to be back. And I also like the fact that they weren't scared of the Chiefs, man. Like, I thought, you know, say what you will about some of the nasty stuff that happened at the end of the game, that showed that the Bills were upset. Like, they thought they were going to win this game, and they were mad they didn't win it. And that typically is a sign that that team's going to be back. So, you know, part of, like, being good champions and making it last is having respect for, like, real threats. And I think the Bills are a real threat going forward.
Therese, I want to play this audio for you because you say you like that Buffalo wasn't afraid of Kansas City. I want to know your opinion after I play this. I don't know if you heard this yet. This was Sean McDermott at his postseason press conference.
The one before half really felt like, you know, morale was a big piece of that. You know, they had momentum. They were getting the ball after half as well, Vic, and felt like we needed to come away with points at that one, because even though sometimes analytics may say one thing, and whether it said it or not on our chart, I think there's a human element to the game at the end of the day, and felt like we needed to come away with points. As I look at those guys in the locker room and say, hey, we got something to show for that drive we put together at the end of the half. And I thought that was important because it was getting awfully, awfully tough.
So, Therese, what did you make of Buffalo's choice to kick two really short field goals? They had fourth and goal from the two. They kicked a 20-yard field goal. Later in the game, they kicked a 27-yard field goal. It seems to me like they were trying not to get blown out, not trying to win.
See, I'm glad you helped me make the distinction. I don't think the players were scared of Buffalo, but I'm sorry, I don't think Buffalo's players were scared of Kansas City. I think Sean McDermott was a little worried about getting blown out, and I think I said that on my show last night too. Like, that's the kind of move you make when you know your team's a little young and they've never been there before, and you know, like, a 45-10 route could be damaging to your program. You know, I feel like 38-24, you can build on that. You know, people will listen, players will listen, like, you'll be close. But if you go there and you get blown out 49-10, like, that's hard to that, like, that damages the trust. So I don't think the players were scared of the Chiefs. I do think McDermott should have been more aggressive. I think, you know, he was thinking of this a little long term, where, you know, as far as winning the game on Sunday, the only chance they had to win was by pulling a Sean Payton in the 2009 Super Bowl by creating more possessions, being hyper aggressive, going for it. So my comment still stands. You know, I think the players were really competing, and I didn't see a lot of quit. I didn't see any quit. I didn't see any back down in the players, but I do think McDermott should have been more aggressive, and I think he'll tell you that now. And I promise you, that's not going to be the case next year. I promise you, you know, they're building to that, right? Like, Chiefs face the Bills next year. You know, McDermott will lose the trust of his players if those guys don't, if the staff is not more aggressive. So, you know, it paid off for the Chiefs this time, and I think the Bills are going to have to be more aggressive next time, and we'll see what happens.
Therese, let's spin the wheels forward a little bit and talk about the Super Bowl opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you think that Tom Brady is more likely to be the reason the Bucs win the Super Bowl or lose the Super Bowl?
I mean, honestly, I think the biggest key to this game is the Chiefs' ability to block the tackles. Like, I know, block at tackle. Like, I know people don't want to hear that. Like, I know, I don't know how this has become something that, you know, incites people, but, like, you have two backup tackles. And, like, I've been watching the Bucs all season. The one thing they can do is rush the quarterback. Like, Pierre Paul and Shaq Barrett are playing their best football the season. So, like, whether you like it or not, like, those guys are coming, and the Chiefs are going to have to devise ways to take advantage of their aggressiveness. Now, the good news is that they have Mahomes, who can make those guys miss in the pocket, but also Andy Reid's the master of this. Like, you know, here comes some screens, here comes some draws, and one way that you can really take a little of the oomph out of a pass rush is by you know, when you run downhill or you run plays, really take it to these guys. That gives those tackles confidence, and that makes the edge rushers come, you know, they don't come quite as hard with the rush. Like, they got to be a little more careful with it. And, you know, I think they're going to have to be a little more balanced. And that's actually not that easy to do against Tampa. Like, we know Vita Vey and Sue, like, those are two strong dudes. Those might be the two strongest pound for pound defensive tackle, for a combination of pro football. So, like, I'm not advocating for, hey, you know, line up and establish the run. I'm not doing that. But I do think if there's some shots that you can trick them a little bit with the run and misdirection, I do think that would help. And I took your question in a different arena because I don't care, but I'm just saying, like, I think fans need to understand that, like, that's going to matter. But as far as if the Bucs win the game, it'll be because Tom Brady plays well. But it will be like the 2018 Super Bowl for them. Remember that, where they were running the football and then he took a few shots and connected on those few shots. I think it's going to be important for Tampa to run the 2018 Pats game plan. Like, I know they're going to come out slinging, and maybe they do that, you know, but we know that in a big game, the Chiefs are scoring 31. So I think the answer to that question, Sean, is, you know, it's going to be the reason the Bucs win. And if they lose, you know, it'll probably be the reason they lose too, because at the end of the day, their fate is his hands. If he can play a vintage Tom Brady game, this is going to be an awesome shootout that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
You know the voice, it's Terrez Paylor back on the drive. Actually, I heard Tony Romo say something I agreed with, which is rare with that guy. He said he thinks that this is LeBron James versus Michael
really?
Jordan. Yeah, not the biggest fan, but we can move on. He said he sees this as LeBron James, Terrez versus Michael Jordan.
Tony Romo catches stray bullets on his
show. Well, he hates Romo.
I don't hate him. I think he's wildly overrated.
He hates Romo, and you already know he hates Sammy Watkins.
I don't hate either one of them.
He actually hates Romo more than he hates Sammy Watkins.
I swear I don't hate either one of them. I don't hate a lot of things. I think they're both wildly overrated. That's all I'm saying, and I'll leave it there.
Sean, I think you're on your own island with that Romo hate, man.
Like, I get 1,000 texts every time
I say it. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. I know. I'm supposed to say that he's beautiful. I don't see it, but whatever.
His approval rating's like a 98%.
Like, I understand.
That's amazing.
I understand. There are certain things that, you know, sometimes you'll eat something that everybody else loves and you just don't understand. Like, is something wrong with my taste buds? I don't have the taste buds for Tony Romo.
Like, some people don't like In-N-Out Burger. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I hate In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, see, that's his Tony Romo.
It's terrible.
I don't get it. But anyway, we move on. Do you agree with what he said, that this is basically LeBron versus Michael Jordan? Or I should say, LeBron versus Jordan in the championship?
Yeah, I mean, it feels a little like that, doesn't it? Like, MJ is the GOAT. It would be like if LeBron came around 3 years earlier into MJ's Wizards tenure. And I mean, that's a pretty good comparison. Like, but LeBron wouldn't need it to come like 3 years earlier. And you wouldn't need it to drop some really good players on the Wizards better than he had, you know? And that would have been a great thing for basketball too. I think that's a good comparison.
Terrez, last two questions here. We'll get you out of here because next week we'll dive way deeper into the game. But it's, you know, we got a lot of time between now and the game. Who do you think is the next head coach at Houston? I think it's between Leslie Frazier and Eric Bieniemy. And where do you ultimately think Matthew Stafford lands?
I definitely think it's between Frazier, Bieniemy. I know Caldwell's in that mix. Cully's in that mix. You know, we'll see. I've heard Frazier's interviewed really well with them, and he brings a Tony Dungy like presence, or at least that's what the bet would be. So, you know, I was able to confirm yesterday that he's got, you know, that second interview. We'll see what happens. You know, I don't necessarily think Bieniemy's out of it either, so we'll see. I think I'd go with Frazier, but it could be Eric. You know, I don't think we know yet. Lastly, I think Indy would be a great spot for Stafford. Awesome head coach in Frank Wright, who knows how to draw it up. Awesome structure around him. Like, their run game is for real with big Jonathan Taylor and then one of the league's best offensive lines. They're going to continue to add to their skill position, wide receiver weapons, because T.Y. Hilton's been injury prone. But, you know, they got a great defense that's ready to roll. Matt Eberflus is coming back. You know, that's a Super Bowl-ready team. They just need the right quarterback. And I think, you know, Chris Ballard, you know, keep an eye on this. John Dorsey reportedly is joining up with the Lions. There's a pipeline there to communication. Ballard and Dorsey are friends. Like, those guys are really, like, close friends. So, you know, I think Indy is the odds-on favorite. And I think that team immediately becomes, you know, the predictions, 11 or 12 wins, you know, maybe AFC title game worthy. Like, that's a good team. Like, that's a team to be reckoned with. That might interfere with my Chiefs-Bills rematch prediction next year.
That is Terrez Paylor, one of the best NFL voices, writers, reporters, podcasters in the country. He does fantastic work at Yahoo Sports. Be sure to check it out. Terrez, always good talking football with you. Looking forward to next week when we can really dive in and really break down the Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Thanks, Terrez.
Hey, yeah, no problem. It's always great to be on one of the best afternoon drive time sports talk shows in the country. I feel like I got to throw y'all a little love, too, since you guys are always
thanks,
so
man.
Gracious. We appreciate it. That's Terrez Paylor.
No, we team up. It's good. I like this combo. It's great.
Absolutely. That's our guy, Terrez Paylor, joining us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.